All right, let's go right to the phone lines now. We are very thankful and happy to have this gentleman on, the new head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, Pete DeBoer, now joining us. Coach, how you doing? So far, so good, huh? Undefeated as the VGK head coach.
Yes, and it's been a whirlwind. It's been really exciting. And I think today I had my first real normal day with the group. We got through that first day and first win, and today we got down to work with some practice and video. So it was a good normal day from a coaching perspective, and you know, I really like this group and real excited to be working with them.
We all know how bitter the rivalry was between the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights. So just having said that, how surreal was it to walk on the ice, get on the bench as coach of the Golden Knights last night?
Yeah, it was different. I had some funny comments and some smiles from the linesmen and the referees, and you know, a lot of those guys were involved in some of those heated series. So I think it was a little strange, a little awkward, a little different for everybody. But honestly, you know, I think getting through that, guys, I think you know, it feels real normal today when we got to work. And you know, I think that stuff's all in the rearview mirror, and it's, you know, what can we do now as a group?
You know, Pete, you mentioned the word whirlwind, and that's kind of how I wanted to phrase this question. Whirlwind, 72 hours. Just kind of take us back to that phone call, that initial phone call from Kelly McCrimmon. Did you need much of a sales pitch to come to Vegas?
No sales pitch at all. I've still got my place out in San Jose, and I was in Florida with my wife and my daughter. She was leaving for school, and we were taking a quick trip down there before she was going to go back to school. So I was in Florida with nothing but shorts and sandals, and the phone rang as we were sitting by the pool, and it was Kelly, and he asked if I had interest, and it took about half a second for me to say absolutely. At that point, things move really quickly. And, you know, in 24 hours, I was on a flight to Ottawa and trying to buy a suit so that I'd look presentable behind the bench for my first game as the Knights coach.
Okay, so it sounds like there wasn't a sales pitch needed necessarily on either side. So when it comes to your relationship with a GM, do you like to have input on the who's on the roster, who's playing, who's not, or do you kind of feel that that's the GM's job and then you coach the players, or do you like a little bit of say and say what you think they need and who you'd like to maybe see come here?
You know what, I'm a big believer in coaches coach and managers manage. At the same time, you know, I've known Kelly, I've known George McPhee for a long time. You know, we haven't been close, but we've run in the same circles. I coached on a world championship team that George McPhee was involved with a few years ago that Eakins actually played on that team. Kelly was involved in junior hockey in Canada, which I was coaching for 15 years, so our paths would cross there. And what I know about those two guys is they're very good hockey guys. And, you know, when you have good hockey guys, they'll ask your opinion. And, you know, most of the time you're on the same page with what you need. So there wasn't a sales pitch needed. I knew the people I was dealing with. I knew the group because, you know, I had an intimate familiarity with the number of games we played against Vegas in the last two seasons with San Jose and the playoff rounds and the heated rivalry. So, you know, I was all in from the minute the phone rang.
In looking at your unique history of playing against this team, coaching against this team as many times as you have over the last 2.5 years, what kind of areas do you feel you are best prepared to try to figure out a way to maximize this roster's potential?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think I've seen them at their best. The year they went to the Stanley Cup final, you know, I thought they played to their identity better than maybe any team I had seen in the last 10 years. You know, as a group of 20 people out there, they worked as a unit. They worked away from the puck. They were they had an incredible identity, and it carried them a long way. And, you know, I think especially recently, they're searching to get that identity back a little bit. I think, you know, like all good teams, sometimes that slips a little. You change your makeup a little, you maybe get a little more skilled, and you lose a little bit of that. So, you know, I think the only advantage I have is I remember what that identity looked like, and I've got to push them to get that back with the added skill level that has come in over the last couple of years.
You mentioned non-negotiable items that you expect from your team. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more, specifically shorter shifts and why that's a tenet of your coaching philosophy?
Yeah, I think in the first meeting with the team, you know, I talked about some of those non-negotiable things. I think I'm a coach that, you know, I'm flexible. I'll bend. I'll listen to input from players, but there are some non-negotiable things, and those are really based around the identity that you know, I believe this team has to play with and has played with in the past and has to get back to. And again, they're close, but in the NHL, if you're a little bit off, you know, that's the difference between being an average team and being a team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. And you know, those type of things are being direct and playing north and playing physical and being a four line team and getting great goaltending and being hard to play against, you know, all those types of things.
Staying with your coaching philosophy, when you are coaching, do you tend to try to create your systems around the players and the rosters that you have? Do you tend to maybe take the focus of your coaching players to adapt into the system that you have out there? Do you kind of, you know, do a little bit of both and say, well, this is my system, but with this particular group, maybe I need to tweak it just a little bit here or there or something like that to get the maximum potential and get that success on the ice?
Yeah, I think every coach has to tweak things around their group. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The good news is this group plays the way I believe the game should be played and the way I think you win in the playoffs. I think they have those type of characteristics. So I don't have to change a whole lot there. But they are built differently. In San Jose, I had a team built around elite skilled defensemen in Brent Burns and Eric Carlson, and we tried to play our systems to maximize their puck touches and their ability to get the puck in the right places on the ice. Vegas is built a little differently. They're more top heavy with their skill up front. So we're going to have to try and maximize that a little bit more. So, you know, I think every coach has to do some of that. But the nice thing is this group, you know, is built and plays the way I believe the game should be played. And that's the main thing.
You know, Pete, you mentioned that this is the first time you're coming in mid-year as a coaching addition. You also mentioned that you reached out to some colleagues to try to give you some advice on that. What advice were you given in just how to maybe navigate that balance of trying to change maybe too much or not enough?
Yeah, one of my best friends, one of my mentors, the first guy that I got into coaching with is Paul Maurice, who coaches the Winnipeg Jets, and he's gone into situations like this two times before during his career. So he had some advice for me just on, you know, my initial meeting with the team and getting through that and also, you know, trying to map out, you know, how many changes or how much you can implement and how quickly. And it's a strange position to come in the middle of the year when you don't have practices and jump right behind a bench and you want to add some things, but you don't have a lot of practice time. So we're trying to manage through that. I've given them a little bit more than maybe I planned a couple days ago just because I think the group, you know, has impressed me with their intelligence, their ability to pick up on some things. And so, you know, that's something that's kind of moving on the fly.
Coach, you know, a lot of the fans out here are still relatively new to hockey. They've been kind of learning the game the last couple seasons with the Vegas Golden Knights. And one thing that seems to come up a lot in their viewpoint is leadership. In terms of selecting or not selecting a captain, do you plan on doing that? If so, why, yes or no? And is that really something that's essential? Because we've heard over and over again in this locker room, there's 23 captains.
Yeah, I think this is a really unique team. I think when I talked to George McPhee and it made sense, he explained to me the rationale behind not picking a captain, that because they were an expansion team, they were all in this together and they were all leaders. It made a lot of sense. You know, does that mean there won't be a captain moving forward? I don't know. I think the first step in this is me getting to know this group and these men. And, you know, if something steps forward and it becomes obvious that we need a captain or this guy is the captain, then, you know, I'm not afraid to name a captain. But at the same time, if this group is happy responding and leading and doing the things they've done, they've had a lot of success, and, you know, why upset it? So I think the first step is just me getting to know these guys.
You know, Pete, we're going to end it on this one. You've had great success whenever you've come to a franchise in your first year, and your resume really does speak for itself. But I'm just curious, for you, Pete DeBoer, the person, how do you define success?
Well, for me, we've got to get this team back playing to their identity. And if they play to their identity, we have a chance to beat anybody. There's enough skill, there's enough depth, there's enough character there. So, you know, that's on me and my staff to get that team back to recognizing what their identity is and was, and getting to play it on a nightly basis. And then from there, you know, in order to win it, you need some luck, you need bounces, you need a major at the right time, or a hand pass at the right time. Like, you know, you need some good fortune. It's there's a lot of other things that go into it, but you know, for me, if we can get this group playing the right way and to their identity every night, I feel that we'll have a chance against anybody.
Well, Coach, we truly appreciate the time. We could obviously spend the entire hour with you, but we know that you have more important things to do, like getting ready for a game against Montreal than Boston. And although the bye week and the All-Star break is coming up, I have a feeling that you're going to be one of the guys in hockey that won't be taking a lot of that time off, because you have a lot to assess and look forward to get this team ready to make a playoff run and then hopefully go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't wait to get behind the bench in Vegas there. It's the most electric rink in the league, and I just can't wait.
All right, Coach. Well, we look forward to it. I look forward to seeing you at City National Arena when you get in town as well. We'll introduce ourselves, and thanks again very much for the time. We truly appreciate it because we know how busy you are.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Pete.